going down? It's Donnie Houston Podcast. I am Donnie Houston. Check it out, man. We got a very special guest in the house, man. Listen, young cat been putting it down, man, making a whole lot of noise, man. Big waves, you know what I'm saying? Representing the North Side, you know what I mean? Representing for the Mexicans, you know what I'm saying? Real dope, you know what I'm saying? Ain't got a cool personality. I just told him before we started, just from Chop It Up, I said, man, you might one of my new favorite rappers, you know what I'm saying? Bo Bundy, man, what's going down, man?
What's up, fine? Just here chilling, bro, just vibing.
Yeah. What's the deal, man? Shit, I appreciate you coming through, man.
Shit, appreciate you having me. I know you've been trying to get this locked in, bro. I just kind of like, I'm very, I just like being private, really, you know, so it's... I don't even know if I'm speaking high enough right now.
You're good. You're
I feel
good.
Like Ricky Bobby. I don't know what to do with my hands. But yeah, bro, it's just chilling. You know, we're out here just living and shit.
Yeah. So what's new with you, man?
Shit, bro. Just working on a bunch of new music, working on the albums, just kind of focusing on myself a lot lately. So.
You say focusing on yourself? What you mean?
Just, you know, just trying to be a better person, bro. I feel like, you know, if you don't take certain breaks and time to actually just kind of focus on yourself, you kind of lose yourself in this shit. So, you know, I've just been traveling, eating good, doing shit I like to do, you know, just trying to kind of stay in touch with myself, you know, and take a break from everything.
Yeah. Man, you've been able to do a lot, you know what I mean? And what it seems like a short period of time, like when would you say you first started, like, kind of getting out there, putting music out?
Like I said, I told you before we started this shit, like I was in high school, but it was kind of like maybe like 2016, like a year after I graduated. I didn't really have shit going for myself. I was really like, I didn't go to college. I didn't get into college. I was dropped out of high school.
You dropped out of high school?
I eventually graduated, but I dropped out like 6 fucking times, bro. So, you know what to say, 7 times the charm. but, yeah, bro, it was kind of like, I didn't want to get my GED. But eventually, I was working for the oil field, and the oil field went to shit in 2015. And I was just at home chilling, so I was like, man, fuck it, let me just go ahead and fucking get this fucking high school diploma. And I went back, and I got, like, the least, like, I barely fucking did it. And then after that, I went back to construction. And I was just doing that, and I didn't really feel like, I knew, like, I wanted more, because I've always been very creative, and, like, my creativity, like, I do feel like it's unmatched my vision. And it was like one of those things where I wasn't fulfilled with myself. Like it was just, it seemed like a routine. Every day I'm waking up, doing the same shit, going to work, getting home, sleeping, and the same shit. I knew I wanted more. So I kind of just told my bro Vassett, I was like, hey man, we gotta set the shit a notch. So at one point, like I was making music, going to college full time, and working construction full time. Like I wasn't sleeping for like 4 or 5 years.
But you were into cause you're into like trucks and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, that's
but
my
you
shit.
But you been into that though,
bro. Since I was a kid, like my dad would build like old ass Chevys. So we had like the 72 Chevy, and then my brother-in-law really got me into it. He would do like truck shows and shit like that. So I would go with him, like, you know, you'll wake up like at 5 a.m. to sit in line for hours just to get in, and you see all these like these trucks, and eventually I started making my own bread. So I started like trying to build my own shit. But it wasn't really working because, you know, like, I had other bills and other shit that I had to pay off. Like, college is fucking expensive, bro. Like, that's a fucking scam. Like, how am I going to pay for a class and a book? Like, you know, like.
And you were paying for yourself. No loans, no none of that.
Nah, fuck that. I mean, I was just community college. It wasn't really, like, taking out the big-ass loan. So I was making good enough construction money to, like, pay myself through college. And then eventually the company I was working for, they were great people. They're like, look, if you bring me all A's, like, this semester, I'll reimburse you whatever you spent. I was going to school for construction management and civil engineering. So, like, they kind of saw it as an investment. Like, let's push him through school, and he'll stay working with us. Because I was a project manager for a construction company.
I did not expect this interview to go like this.
Yeah. A lot of people tell me this shit. Like, I just be doing side missions, bro. Like, I'm just out here. I've lived, like, my life's just been everywhere with everything.
It's a completely different thing from what you got going on right now. So, okay, so then you transition into the rap thing.
Yeah, well, basically, like, I started, like, doing music, and it started, like, popping off.
This is why you're a project manager?
Well, yeah, well, I was, like, going. So I would, like, party all fucking day, do concerts, then wake up 5 a.m., and go business meetings, pre-bids, do all kinds of shit, job inspections, talk to engineers and shit like that. And it was like, it started getting weird when like people started noticing me at these job sites, like, hey, you're there. I'm like, hey, bro, chill, you know, like, they don't know.
Were you already Bo Bundy or you were still?
I was Bo Bundy, yeah. Mm-hmm. So Bo Bundy started when I started taking it seriously, like, maybe, like, 2015. And then 2016 is when it started, like, catching on. But, like, people at the job sites, like, you know, most construction sites are predominantly Hispanic people. They're like, you're that fucking guy. I'm like, yo, bro, chill, you know. Like, they don't know about this life, bro. I felt like Hannah Montana and shit, bro. And, eventually, like, I was getting to a point where, like, I had to tell my bosses, like, hey, bro, I'm letting you know, like, this is what I do on the weekends and, you know, like, just so they wouldn't see it like a surprise. But they were hella supportive, bro. Like, they'll give me day off so I can go have a show in Austin. And even, like, one time they sponsored, like, all the beer for my, like, album release party.
No shit.
I'm hella grateful for them. I genuinely do feel like I wouldn't be able to do it, like, without their support during those days when I needed it.
Damn, bro.
Yeah.
I didn't expect all this. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know this was going to be a story, man. This is a trip. Not to say that I thought it was going to be this or that. I just didn't expect that this was going to be. No shit, bro. So, okay. When does it come to a point where you're like, all right, I got to walk away from the job?
So, it was basically like, it was working. I was making good money. I dropped that Uno Code with Chingo and it did some noise and I was getting booked faster and more shows.
You still had the job with the Chingo Bling record?
Huh?
You were still working with the Chingo Bling record?
Yeah. So it was like I dropped the Chingo Bling. Well, the thing about it is that, like, even like now, I feel like I can still kind of go work construction. Because it's like Monday through Wednesdays. I don't really get busy till like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So like those first 3 days, bro, I'm literally just bullshitting. I'm sleeping all day. I'm playing PS5 and shit. And so sometimes I'm just like, man, I could be making extra money with this shit. Like, so that's
what. But how did you link up with Chingo Bling? Like, how you starting to meet? Like, just.
He had a Chingo de Mayo Fest in Houston, and I pulled up, and then because my friend Speak, I don't know if he speaks. He's a rapper from LA. Mm-hmm. He be going hard as fuck. Like, he's a real rapper type shit, and he actually wrote that Gucci for Krayshawn.
Oh no shit.
Yeah. So. Yeah, he was like, yo, bro, I'm in your city. Like, pull up. Let me bring you out for a song or something. I'm like, yeah, bro, for sure. So I pull up. And at first, Chingo's kind of like, he's weird about it. He's like, hey, who are you? I'm like, hey, bro, I'm on stage with this guy, you know? I mean, it's normal, you know? So I go on stage. I rock the fuck out this fucking, like, the wherever he was. It was at, like, I think, like, Eighth Wonder Brewery.
Yeah, for sure.
And after that, Chingo comes up to me. He's like, yo, bro, we got to work, da-da-da. He gives me his number, and we drop a song for my album at the time, and it was all right. It was more like just for the culture type shit. And then I remember I was on a cruise, and they were playing the fuck out that Uno Dos Andy Atato, mm-hmm. And I was like, fuck, I hate this fucking song. And my buddy was like, bro, why don't you like just freestyle over it? And I was like, fuck that. He was like, come on. He put on the instrumental, like, while we're on the fucking boat. And I freestyled the whole song. And he recorded it. He's like, yeah, that shit was fire, bro. You should, as soon as we get off the boat, go record that shit. So I was like, all right. So we get home, like 2 days later, I go to the studio, and I record it, and I send it to Chingo. I'm like, hey, bro, what do you think about this, you know? And he's like, yo, call me right now, bro. Like, and I call him. He's like, book an extra hour, book an extra two. Like, I'm on my way. Like, I need to get on this. I'm like, all right, bet. So he pulls up. We record the whole thing. Send it to my video guy. He calls me. He's like, bro, we got to shoot the video for this. So I was like, all right, bet. So I didn't know where the fuck to shoot it at. So I hit up my homeboy down the street, the 16 Wheels and Tires. And I'm like, yo, we got to shoot a video. Bring all the fucking trucks and this and that. And we shot the video in like a fucking hour.
Did all this in the same day?
Nah, it was like maybe like a week process. I'm just skipping.
Yeah.
But it was like in a week. And yeah, so we dropped the video as soon as it's fucking done. And boom, it has like a fucking million views like right away. And I'm like, oh shit, you know. And
was it your first like going into that space?
Yeah, like I think like the most I had hit was maybe like 250,000, maybe like 300,000, and then so it hit the million. I was like, oh shit, you know. But I was still kind of like, I was weirded out that my first million was a song that's not my song. Like, no matter how hard you go, that would never be your song. So it kind of just went off for a few months, and it was like I was just getting booked for that fucking song, and I was just like, yo, like I rap way harder than this shit, bro. Like,
yeah, you don't want to be the one song guy.
Yeah, man. I don't want to be the one song guy. So I remember like I was at work, and some shit had happened with like some family members that they didn't invite us to a fucking party, and I was all mad because they always kind of like excluded us from shit. So I was just like, man, fuck it, I'm gonna diss them in a song. And I started writing like, I'm like, he perdido amigos, he perdido familiares, y si nunca me apoyaron, pues que chinguen a su madre. And that's like, I've lost friends and I've lost family. If you never supported me, like, go fuck yourself. I don't give a fuck. But it kind of just kept going. I kept riding and riding to it. And I was driving. Like, I was recording the audio so I don't forget the melody. So I called the producer. I was like, yo, Vashit, I want you to make me a Cartel de Santa type beat like this. And then, he got the beat. I started writing, wrote the whole song, and I called Barf. I'm like, yo, bro, I know you hate when people do this. I'm like, but can I spit something for you? And he was like, yeah, fuck it, go ahead. And he was like, yeah, bro, that's it. That's the one. So I went in the studio, fucking one take, Jake, bro. I recorded it with one take. And then I got home that day. I told my mom, I'm like, hey, I'm about to drop a song that you're going to fucking hate. But this song's gonna change our lives. Like, I really do feel like I knew it was gonna be the fucking song. And Barf was like, yo, let's shoot the video on Tuesday. And I'm like, yo, I don't really got bread like that. I just paid all my bills, you know. And he was like, man, don't even worry about it, bro. Like, we'll cause that shit when we get there. Da da da. But I was like, yeah, but then I don't know where I'm gonna have the video, what to do. And like an hour later, this dude calls me. He's like, yo, bro, I want you to host a truck meet at my taco stand. It's like a whole ass property. And I'm like, he's like, how much? I'm like, man, bro, I don't really know. Just kind of give me whatever you want. So I was like, man, fuck, if he gives me like $500, I'll just pay the rest of the video. Like, that's how I was like, if I'm not going to go broke for this shit, then I don't really want it. So I called Barf. We set it all up. And I told Barf, I'm like, yo, make the cheapest video possible, bro. Bring one camera, two lights. That's it, bro. Like, leave the drone home, bro. Like, I don't want to do all that. All that extra shit costs extra money. So I was like, nah, Mike, simple ass video. And I post on Instagram, like, truck me, da da da. And like before this, it was hard for me to get trucks. Like, I feel like I didn't have that control where I can be like, yo, I need 7 trucks and I might get like 3 and I have to work with what I got. I feel like after Uno Cut and all this shit, like, I was good enough to like where I picked and chose like what trucks I wanted in the video. Like, I'm talking about, I shut the street down. And we shot the video. We put it out again, like a month in, we hit 1 million views. And then the second month, I was like at 2.5 million. And it was like on an original track now. So it's just like, it's just coming in. And then the label start calling. And then I'm like, yo, I kind of don't want to sign this and that. And I'm like, I had my mind like what label I wanted to sign to. And it wasn't like any of the ones that were reaching out. And then I had a serious talk with my bosses that was working at a construction company. I was like, hey, man, like, you know, I really like it here. You know, I've been working here 5 years, but I feel like things are about to start getting weird. I'm getting booked more and this and that. Like, I don't want to also leave y'all hanging where, like, if y'all need me, but I got to be over here. Like, I feel like it's only right for me to choose my music first because I never know when I'm going to have this, you know, this window opportunity. And they basically told me, like, yo, do that. You always have a job whenever, you know, you want to come back. So that gave me the safety net enough to kind of just, like, fucking risk it. And then the label I wanted to started reaching out. That's the label I'm signed to right now. And we kind of went back and forth with contracts. And eventually, like, I just left to L.A. And I thought it was going to be, like, way harder. I thought it was going to be, like, man, I'm going to move to L.A. and, you know, I'm going to see this and that. I'm going to be out there homeless type shit. I had rented, like, Airbnb out for, I think, like, 2 months. And I'm going to go live out there and I'm not going to be making no money. And, like, hopefully, like, this puts a fire under
me. Do the starving artist thing, yeah.
Man, I was fucking signed within, like, 2 weeks of being out there. I was just like, man, I thought this shit was going to be, like, harder. And then, so I ended up signing. I flew back home. And as soon as that fucking same night, bro, I broke my fucking leg and ankle. And I was out for like 6 months. And
What the fuck? So you came, are you trying to still do shows and shit or what?
Man, so it was just like, what was the question? I'm sorry.
Were you still like trying to do shows when you had the leg?
So yeah, I did. So basically, like, I fucked up, bro. I wasted all the money I had. I was like, yeah, I'm a signed artist now. Fuck yeah, you know, like, this money's been coming like nothing. This and that. Spent all my money, fucking watches, fucking trucks.
Rapping shit.
All the cool shit, bro, like, you know. And then broke my fucking leg. And I was like, all right. And then I'm like, I don't have insurance anymore. So I went to the hospital. I ended up paying like $36,000 for my fucking surgery. And then I'm out. So now I'm just like, fuck, I'm broke again. And this and that. And like the first month of having my leg broken, bro, was like the worst depression I've ever gone through. Because I'm the type to, I run away from my problems. I don't give a fuck if I'm sad. I go party somewhere and, you know, I forget that shit. I don't give a fuck. And I couldn't go nowhere. I was just literally there. I'm depending on everybody for anything. Like, literally, I can't even go to the restroom by my fucking self. And I'm in a wheelchair. I take a lot of pride in who I am and how I carry myself. So, me being in a wheelchair, I always felt like people were just actually looking down on you. Like, you literally see people looking down on you. So, it did a thing to my self-esteem. And then, so I was broke, fucking depressed.
With a new deal.
With a new deal. And then, like, it felt like I couldn't do anything. Like, the tour had started that I was supposed to be on. I wasn't on it. And then it was just like, fuck. So I was like, man, fuck it. I'm going to do a meet and greet in Houston. And, you know, I'll sell merch. And hopefully that'll keep me going for a few months. So I hit up the label. I'm like, y'all want to do a meet and greet? There's these other kids from Dallas. They're signed to the same label as me. Called Porte Diferente. Great kids. And I was like, have them come down. We'll do like a meet and greet together. They're like, well, we don't know if it's going to work. You know, it's peak COVID times. We're like, man, nobody cares about this shit in Texas, bro. Like, we do it. We have 4,000 people show up. Mm. Like, in a small fucking, it's a car lot. And it's like, people standing in the sun for like hours.
Is this your first time getting to see like, oh shit?
Yeah, I'm like, fuck, this is real. Like, this isn't just in my head, bro. Like, if fucking 4,000 people showed up. I think I made like $15,000 off merch that day. Mm. And that's when I was just selling merch for like $20. Like, I wasn't really trying to like tax or anything. So after the label saw that, they're like, yo, this kid, even in a fucking wheelchair, still got it, you know? So they added me to the Texas tour they did. And I'm in a fucking wheelchair. And so we did Midland. That was cool. We ended up going to Dallas. And then I remember I get to the venue, and I'm thinking, they're like, yeah, it's handicap accessible, da, da, da. It's handicap accessible to get into the venue, not on fucking stage. Now I remember I get to the stage, and there's a small staircase, like maybe like 10 steps. And I haven't stepped on my leg at all. Like, it's probably been like, the doctor had said it's going to be 2 years. I'm barely on like month 5. God damn. And I'm there, and I call my mom. I'm like, hey, I'm real scared. Like, I think I'm going to just go back home. Like, I don't think. I'm crying. And she was like, man, mijo, she's like, if God didn't want you to be there, he wouldn't even let you get out the house. Hmm. If he didn't feel that you needed to be there at that very moment, he would have broke the truck down. Something would have happened to stop you from getting there. He's like, but he wants you there. He's like, step with faith. I'm like, all right. So I had faith, but I was still kind of scared. So I got the biggest bodyguard they had. I was like, hey, look, bro. I'm like, stand behind me. As soon as you feel like I'm falling, you hear me scream, pick me up and put me back in my chair and roll me out. Like, I'm not about to make a fool out of myself. You know, it's a sold-out venue, bro. It's fucking. Hmm. So I'm there, and I'm, like, shaking. I'm at the stairs, and I'm just like, God. I was like, man, you know what? Fuck it. And I took that first step. I didn't feel shit. Hmm. I ran up them steps. I got to the top of the... I got to the stage before my wheelchair did. Like, you know, they were pushing my wheelchair up somewhere. And then they started playing my music, and they're like, Texas is on Bo Bundy. And, like, I heard the crowd, like, go crazy. I'm like, I got them. You know, at first I was like, man, like, what if they don't fuck with me? What if they don't like me? And this and that. As soon as I heard them just fucking, like, go at it, I'm like, I got them. Hmm. There's nothing I can do here besides, like, cuss them out or do some weird shit. I'm like, to stop them from not liking me. So I go on stage, I hit it, and then the last song comes on, which is a song I got signed for, and people fucking flashes everywhere. Like, I just see, like, this shit, like, flooded. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. And I stand up, and I'm holding on to Barf, and I'm singing and trying to, like, walk while I'm performing. And I did that in Houston. I did that in Austin. But as soon as Austin's show was done, I came home. Dude, my leg looked like a fucking tree trunk. It was swollen like never before. I went to the doctor. I'm like, hey, my shit's swollen. It's not going down. He's like, you been walking on it? I'm like, nah, dude, fuck no. You know, like, I would never do that. And, yeah, that was the time I fucking performed with a broken leg.
Damn, bro. So talk about, man, because we were talking off air, too, you know. I was telling you, well, you were telling me about, you know, doing the steel tipping thing. That was the first time how you did the English-Spanish thing. And just me listening, like, being into music, I thought that shit was cool. You know what I'm saying? That you do that. But talk about, you know, you grew up in a house that didn't even, you weren't allowed to speak English for so long.
Yeah, so basically, like I said, my mom doesn't know English. I was in ESL, so we couldn't really, like, actually, like I said, my dad found it rude to, like, speak another language in front of somebody who doesn't speak that language. So it was always, like, habla español. And in school, you know, I was in ESL my whole life, so it's like, it was really, like, it wasn't like it was hard. I was just being hard-headed. I didn't really care to learn the language. And it wasn't until I got to middle school that it was just like, they put me in with like kids that spoke Spanish. Like they were from the motherland. Like they were out there. And their Spanish is different than my Spanish, you know? Like, that's what everybody talks about. Like, oh, I'm a no sabo kid. That's an insult to people who speak choppy Spanish. But it's just because there's people out there who speak it well. Hmm. Like, that's like the actual way to speak it. And, I got to middle school, and I remember I used to get bullied for it, for not knowing Spanish, and, you know, so I kind of just made it, like, my fucking, like, yo, I gotta learn this shit, I gotta pick it up, and at the time, I only, like, I would listen to a lot of SPM, I would listen to a lot of Lil Wayne, and I would watch wrestling, so I would just, you know, I would know that kind of fucking, like, I know the moves in English, I'll say, like, John Cena, you know, my little accent and shit, but, yeah, so I got really into it in about seventh grade. I made it to the normal classes. Well, not normal classes. They're both normal. But, you know, like, the...
Not the ESL.
Yeah, not the ESL. So I made it there. And then I kept going at it. And in eighth grade, I was already in, like, pre-AP. Then ninth grade, I was already AP. Like, I learned it. Like, I made it my mission to, like, speak it well, speak it fluently. And, yeah, I mean, so... But I felt like, at one point, I was just like, I feel like this is an advantage I have over a lot of Houston rappers. The fact that I can speak a whole nother language. So I started...
That's also damn near as dominant as English here.
Yeah, which is like, you know, Texas is very diverse, but Hispanics are the major population here. So I'm like, if I can find a way to make it sound good to where it's not corny or anything, you know, because I did grow up a lot on Mexican rap music, you know, and you have like Chona Raza, Hijos de Barrio. You have, like, well, I got really into, like, Cartel de Santa when I was, like, maybe, like, seventh grade.
See, I never heard of these guys. I just know about, like, SPM and that whole type of
SPM,
shit.
SPM, like, GOAT.
But that's the GOAT to you?
That's the GOAT to me, bro. Yeah. Like, and I've talked to him. He's
I talked to him, too.
A great person, dude. Like, but, like, these other rappers, they're, like, from the motherland. Like, they're from over there, and it's just, like, straight up, like.
So it's straight Spanish.
Straight Spanish, yeah. But I was just, like. All this music still has that little bit of corniness to me, which is a production. I feel like a lot of Hispanics would sound so much better if it had better production. But, you know, you work with what you have and you work with, you know, they don't really have not saying they don't have the resources, but it's just kind of like they have their ideal sound and they don't feel like changing it because it's worked and, you know, shout out to them. But I'm like, maybe if I can get this style and put like some Houston in it and this and that. So I started taking, like, things from here and things from there and basically to make my sound, which is, like, you know, you can't pinpoint who I sound like because it's a little bit over here, a little bit of that, a little bit over here. And it's, like, I feel like everything else, like, was just stepping stones for me to get to, like, the sound that I have. And then we started sampling cumbias, you know, so now that I know Spanish, I have a whole genre of music to, like, sample, you know, because everybody here, you know, they have their music, but you can only sample what you know.
Mm-hmm.
So me kind of like just knowing and understanding different cultures, I can sample from over here, I can sample from over there, you know. So it was like, to me, it was an advantage that I had. A lot of people saw like, it's a disadvantage a lot because I feel like we do have doors closed in our face because, you know, being a Hispanic rapper, you know, it's not like the image, you know, a lot of people have when you think of rap music. So it to me, it was like that was my disadvantage. But creativity wise, like I have so much to like that I can sample from over here, like over there. Like, you know, you can sample the Temptations or Los Terrícolas. You know, like you can just have all kinds of shit. You have Etta James and you have like fucking Alejandra Guzman. And you have so much to pick from. And I feel like creatively, like to me, that's the best part of like doing this shit, like as a Hispanic.
Yeah, nah, that's, you know, we were talking, I was telling you, I was like, man, you know, I think this boy knows something because you had redid the Suicidal Thoughts to Biggie, you know what I'm saying? And he was telling me, like, they used to call you New York, you know what I mean?
That used to be my password for a long time. So you find my old phones. But, yeah, anything like Rakim, fucking Big L, Mos Def, Tricard Quest, like, all that shit, MF Doom, like, I was like obsessed with that. Like it was, to me, it was everything.
How did you even get introduced to that though?
So basically I'm thinking. Cause in like middle school, I was heavy into like Lil Wayne and SPM. Like that was all I would actually listen to. I listened to a lot of rock music. I feel like that's what a lot of people didn't know about me. I listened to a lot of rock music because even if I couldn't understand it, like anybody respects a badass guitar riff, you know, like it was cool. But, like, as far as hip-hop, and then in ninth grade, I was like, yo, I'm gonna, like, I wanna be, like, you know, you go into high school, you think it's gonna be, like, the fucking movies.
Right.
And, you know, you wanna be a certain type of person, you know. So I was like, man, I wanna be into music, you know. I've always liked music. So it was when Kanye did that shit to Taylor Swift, where he interrupted her. And I was just like, yo, this guy's fucking awesome. This guy does not give a fuck. I'm like, this is the shit. This is, like, what I need to be on. So I got really into Kanye. And then I remember, like, I talked to a girl about Kanye. And she's like, oh, have you heard of Kid Cudi? Hmm. And at the time, I had just heard, like, Day and Night. But I didn't want to be that guy. Like, oh, I heard Day and Night. So I'm like, yeah, I love Kid Cudi. And that day, I got home, straight YouTube, everything. And then Kid Cudi happened. And eventually, like, it was, like, I found... like some like Jay-Z and then Jay-Z, Biggie. And then when I found Biggie, to me, it was just like, yo, there's another big guy. He's fucking bitches. He's getting money. He's rapping his ass off. He's dressed fly as fuck. I'm like, I want that for myself. Like,
well, so this just came really from you just going down like YouTube rabbit holes fucking, and shit.
Yeah. It was just like, I discovered new shit. Back then, Pandora was like the app. You know, you no one really had Apple or Spotify. It was Pandora. And Pandora shuffles all your shit. So, you know, I got into Biggie, and out of nowhere, I started hearing fucking this other shit. I started hearing Nas, you know, and then I'm like, fuck it. I went on YouTube, and I listened to Illmatic, and then I found the song where he has, where he spits in reverse, and then I found this, I found that, and, you know, eventually, fucking Big L's freestyle with Jay-Z, and then I heard him say, like, Ask Beeb is like nothing but head. And I'm like, yo, that's fucking crazy. Like, it's just a way to play of words. And I got really into, like, the lyric side of this shit. So I started getting really big into, like, Pusha T. You know, like, the way he was just, like, writing. And then I got into, like, Joey Badass, Isaiah Rashad. You know, all that, like, the new shit that's being put out. And I was just in love with it. Like, the double entendres, the metaphors, the similes. And then I fucking... I eventually just got, like, big on Drake. Like, because I like Drake when he was with Wayne. But then he dropped Take Care. And I'm like, yo, this shit's hard. And I became, like, the biggest, like, Kanye stan after that. But it was, like, it wasn't until, like, I feel like I appreciate every music for what it is. That, like, I also picked and choose of what I like more about music. But it got to the point where it was just, like, the best thing I liked about music was the nostalgia that it came with. The fact that you can listen to a song and it puts you in a certain place in your life or in a certain, like, where you were. And it was just, like, the way a song makes you feel. So it started becoming more about what you can make somebody feel more than, like, as far as lyric-wise. You know, like, that's very impressive. I respect to anybody who can rap their ass off and do all that stuff. But to me, I want to put you in a certain place in your life, you know? Like, sometimes, like, some of these songs don't even make sense, but it's just the thing that you felt at that moment, the way you can make somebody feel in a song. You feel good, you feel fly, like, just saying fly shit. And it was just like, I feel like a lot of that music was coming from the South. You know, it was more like on some bragging shit. Some, you know, I got this, I got that, da da da, my whip, you know, candy coated, this and that. So it's just like, you give somebody like, I guess like a goal, you know, because you want to be that, you want to relate to this song. You know, it makes you like J Dog riding on foes. That shit is it's an accomplishment song. The whole song, he's just talking about how good he feels about doing what he's doing and handling his business. And, you know, fucking Friday day, you know, Friday comes along, you just got paid, everybody good. And, you know, you put out the whip on Sunday, you feel good. Like, that's your go-to song. And I wanted to make that for people. I wanted to make music that this is your go-to when you're feeling good.
Man, talk about working with Riff Raff, man. How dope is Riff Raff, dog?
Coolest person I know, bro. He's hard to text because he just be rapping. He texts like he rap. I'm like, what's up? How you doing? He's like, I'm doing, you know, I'm out here Ruby Tuesday, but it's a Wednesday. And I'm just like, I'm like, bro, just say you're good, bro. Like, and he'll just be like, yeah, you know, out here chilling and like, you know, you just make up some shit, bro. It's just cool as fuck. To me, that was everything. Because, like, when I got into Riff Raff, it was probably, like, 11th grade, 10th grade. And that was when, like, he was just, like, he was a shit, bro. Like, it was, like, during that, like, Riff Raff Lil B era, bro. When everybody was out here just cooking and shit. And, like, to me, that was fly. I was just making up shit.
Riff Raff got a freestyle on Sway.
Oh, man.
That's legendary.
Shit, that's my shit. He's like, pancakes and hugs. You want to see me out here selling drugs? It's like,
he was going crazy. Like, Sway and them looking like they laughing. I'm like, nah,
y'all don't understand. That was straight off the
Riff
dome.
Riff Raff going crazy.
That's legendary.
Riff Raff was
like,
going
I
crazy.
I might pop chunk on your sister. I fry grizzles and eggs and toast.
Goddamn missile.
Yeah, he bought the most. He bought coast to coast. He bought sea to sea. Yeah, I know that bitch my memory, bro.
Yeah. Classic Riff Raff freestyle.
He's a goat, bro. Like, to me, like, the way he, like, he's himself 100%. And I feel like that's probably, like, what I recommend to any artist is, like, don't get lost in this shit. I feel like everybody's trying to chase what's going on now. You know, it might take you longer if you're yourself, but you don't really ever, like, no one can ever check you on that shit. Riff Raff did exactly what he wanted. He did everything he wanted. It worked out for him. And it's like, to me, that's fucking legendary. I feel like that's what he should be known for, is the fact that he did it his way type shit, you know?
Yeah.
But it was great working with him. You know, we had two tracks. I know I took one down, but we had the other one still fucking. You know, when he said my name on the track, bro, that's probably like top 10 accomplishments for me. Yeah. He said Burberry, Bo Bundy. That's, to me, that's like, that's cool.
Yeah, man. Talk about a... I can imagine what it's about, but Mi Barrio, you know what I'm saying?
So that one, it was more like, well, it started off as a diss to my family members, but it just became like, it became a thing, like an anthem, as far as just like, you know, it starts off like, I'm cruising through my hood, smoking a blunt, and you know, the bass is fucking jumping in the truck, you know, and if I die, like, make sure you fucking bury me with my AK, because that's the only person I trusted in this life. It's just more like, you know, partying song. I say, like, you know, I'm out here going down to McAllen, got them packs on me. You know, we going to party all night. Give me some cocaine so I stay up. And I'm drinking Bocana, but only the 18 one, because it's like one of the expensive ones. And it's like, the hook is like, you know, it's like, I don't need anyone. Like, I've never asked y'all for shit. Like, it's kind of like just some talking shit, like in your own accomplishments type shit.
Yeah, I mean, I fuck with it, but I be listening like, damn, I wish I could have paid a little bit more attention in Spanish, man. You know what I'm saying?
It's really, like I said, it's just the vibe it gives you off, bro. It's just like, you know, smoking blunts in your truck, got bitches with you, and, you know, in the day I die, like, bury me with a band, you know? Like, I want to hear the band playing. And it's just, it's really much to it, bro. Like, I can't go too deep into it. I do have music where I do go deeper in, but that one's just like, it's just a nice flow. It's just good vibes.
It's like you feel it at the time type shit.
Yeah, so it's like a song you cruise to when you're with the homies, you know? Like, it ain't like, oh, I'm going to be in my feelings in my room and my headphones blasting and shit. Something you hear at the barbershop.
But then you get into like a singing type of thing too, you know what I'm saying? Like,
On mi barrio?
No, no, not on mi barrio. I'm just saying just in general, like your whole style, you know what I'm saying? It's not all just raps and shit.
Fuck, hold on, this pen hit back. Let me fucking drink some life water. In case they want to sponsor somebody, you know? Hmm. I always wish I could sing. Like, to me, that was like, that's the shit, bro. Like, singing is crazy as fuck. I'm really into, like, country music. I'm really into, like, rock music. Hold up, I can still feel that bitch right here. I just don't want to do one of them ugly calls, you know, cameras on me. But, I try to be versatile, man. I try to, like, because I can generally write any music. Any genre you throw at me, give me, like, a week or two to study it, and I will write you, like, a hit. Hmm. And it may not sound the best with me on it, but I'll sell that bitch to somebody, you know. But it's just like, I just understand music. I understand what the people want. Like, it might be a generic ass song, but it's like sometimes that's what people want, you know. People want the generic song. But like I said, if I fall in love with a genre that I want to be a part in, like, I would try to like get into it and know about it. Because I feel like you can't try to get into something without knowing its background, without knowing, like, who to pay homage to on certain shit and just shit like that. So, you know, I have some songs where, fuck, shit, man, quit these hoes. But, what song do you hear me sing on?
Man, I can't even remember.
Is it a Spanish song?
It was a Spanish song.
All right, so yeah. That's probably Vida Lujosa. That's basically the genre that I'm in. Like, that's the Spanish, like, the corrido. So I was like, yo, I can do this too, cause my music is just a corrido but on a rap beat. I'm like, you know what, fuck, let me get some live instruments.
When you say corrido, like what is it?
Corrido, it's a story. That's all it is. It's just like a folklore, I guess that's the term to it. But it's just like a song about something. Like, it used to just be made, like, corridos were made for like drug dealers, gun runners, and like people, like brave men who died and shit. And then it kind of just started, like, in 2015, they started making, like, corridos for, like weed and shit. And, like, it started, like, all about smoking weed in my truck. And then it got 2018, it started getting more, like, flashy corridos. Like, you know, like, oh, I came up from the bottom and red bottoms. Like, it's still about somebody, but it's more, like, it's not really, like, they don't really do shit. Hmm. All they did was just become successful. And so it became that. So I was just like, fuck it, like, let me write a corrido by my fucking self. And that's Vida Lujosa. And I'm like, in the first line, I say, dicen que ha cambiado desde que estoy adelante. Like, everybody's like, I say, everybody said I've changed since I came up. But that's basically, I basically translated a Jay-Z quote. Because Jay-Z says that he's like, everybody said you changed. Like I worked this hard to stay the same. So I'm like, dicen que ha cambiado desde que estoy adelante. Como trabajé, like, no trabajé tanto, but, like, to be in the same place that I was at. And so I kind of just, like, made the whole song. And they fucking liked it. Personally, I don't like the fucking song because I can't sing. Like, it's a really good written song, but it's just, like, I put autotune on it. And then everybody asked me to perform it live, and I'm like, yeah, I can't. I'm sorry. You know, pick another song. So, yeah, but, like, today I dropped the fucking rock song. And that's so cool to me. I love it.
Is that so you don't have any intention on staying, like, one place? You kind of just want to do whatever you feel?
I want to be one of the most versatile artists to come out of Texas. Like, I want to be able, like, to, especially when it's music I like. Like, you know, I do, like, I have country songs coming up. The song I dropped today is, like, a country pop song. Like, not pop song, country punk rock. And that's kind of like the red dirt sound that's going on right now in, like, Texas country music. So I did it with my friend Giovanni. But it's more like, this next album I'm doing is called The Lone Star. It's a double-sided album. It's a Texas-based album with only Texas artists in it. So it's made for Texas by Texas, you know? So it's gonna, like, the first side of the album is gonna be 12 tracks of, like my Spanish rap, corridos, and cumbias. Like, the shit, the people that support me, like, that's my fan base, that's for them. The second one's more for me. It's more like, it got to a point where I wasn't feeling creatively content with myself. Like, I wanted more, and, like, I wanted to, like, this shit's easy to me, and I wanted to, like, actually, like, you know, make it harder on me to, like, write something different and be out of my comfort zone. Because if you're not in your comfort zone, you're not growing. So I felt myself just, like, you know, just basically, like, I was just getting through this fucking genre. And it goes good. The money's good and everything. But it's just, like, I'm not challenging myself, like, to be a better artist, to, like, try to become, like, something else. So I started kind of, like, I'm like, all right, I really like country music. I like rock music. Let me try to do this and that. And my friend Giovanni's like, fuck yeah, bro, let's do this song together. And I fucking did it. And it's, like, me singing a rock song in Spanish. And I performed it at, like, sold-out shows all over Texas, and they loved it. So today we finally put it out. And it's just, I just want to be, like, to me, like, I know it sounds pretty shitty, but I want to be content. Like, I want to make myself happy. Like, I'm making music for me right now. And I feel like when I was constantly trying to make music for other people, I wasn't content within myself. And I feel like that's where I felt like I got lost. Like, I was just trying to make music that will sell to these kids. And I feel like a lot of artists are doing that right now, and the music scene's fucking saturated. I feel like everyone's trying to chase, like, what's going on right now. No one's dropping, like, good music. It's been a while since I've heard, like, a good fucking song. Like, that's just like, yo, this is different. This is, like, this can be the next fucking thing. Everybody's so worried about, like, just putting shit out right now. No one's thinking ahead. And that's why I get a lot of shit about me not dropping music consistently. I haven't dropped since April. Yeah. Everybody's like, yo, this is, like, bro, I get so many fucking DMs. And everybody's like, drop music, drop music. And it's because other artists are in the same genre and you're just consistently dropping. And that's cool. You can do that. You know, you're working hard. You're putting it out. But I already did the sound that I wanted. You have one 15-track album to listen to until I basically come up with this next shit that I want. And I want it to be different. I want it to be new, refreshing, because I don't want you to get bored of me. You know, everybody's so like, oh, drop new music, and then people dropping like, oh, you sound the same. You sound the same in every fucking song. So it's like, people have that issue, you know, that everybody, you sound the same in every song. And that's what I started, like, people were telling me that, and I started, like, hearing it, like, yo, this is very the same. Like, I sound the same in every fucking song. I need to switch it up. I need something new. And that's what I'm challenging myself to do now, like. So, I mean, hopefully it works, and if it fucking doesn't, I know I tried. And to me, that's enough.
What's like the ultimate goal for you with this whole thing?
With what?
With like this whole thing. Like
this whole thing. Man, I feel like, to me, like, it's not just music. It's like, that's why, like music is very important to me. I love, like, what I'm doing right now, but this isn't, like, this is just a piece of what I have, like, my whole plan. Like, it's, a lot of people tell me, like, oh, I do have, like I said, for me taking a whole year off, I have people in my message talking about, like, you fell off, you did this and that. But I genuinely feel like I can't fall off because I can't stop creating. Like, I may take a year off of music, but, like lately I've been getting really into, like, design, like, graphic designing. I've been making clothes. I've been making this and that. Like, I want to get into fashion. I want to do this and that. And then, you know, I'm directing. I want to get into film. I want to make fucking movies. I want to write books. I want to, like, there's so much shit I want to fucking do. And I genuinely feel like I cannot fall off. Like, even if I fucking wanted to, like, my mind's always racing. I always have a new idea. I see shit differently. My perspective's different than anybody else. I have so much hustles and different shit, like, that is just, like, God bless me with this fucking brain and I'm going to put it to fucking work. And it's like, at the end of the day, like, I just want to represent my community because I have so much love for my, like, the north side of Houston. There's so much talent there. There's so much, like, you know, people, like, the businesses there, like, people that come up with shit, like, it's beautiful to me. And, you know, and I want to shine a light because we never really, like, besides what, like, Slim Thug was from the north side, we didn't really have anybody, like, that was just, like, that to us. You know, Southside have everybody. All the fucking, like, Houston legends, they're predominantly from the Southside.
Well, I mean, y'all got Slim, you got Paul, you got Chameleon, you got, who else from Northside?
I did not know Chameleon was from Northside.
Yeah, Chameleon, Paul.
Isn't Paul Wall? Like, Paul Wall's from, like, the Heights, no?
Nah, Paul Wall from the Northside. Oh, Paul Wall and Chameleon from the same area. fucking T. Ferris, who's a legendary A&R, you know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah. I tell you, I wasn't really plugged in mm-hmm. with, like, you know, the English music scene, but, like, but even in Spanish, like, y'all had SPM. mm-hmm. yeah, you know, like, so it's like, I'm not saying I want to, like, I'm, because I know the comments, but I'd be like, oh, he's nowhere near SPM, and I was, like, I'm not saying that, I'm just saying, like, I want to be a symbol.
You want to like, do, you want to do for the North Side with
what
SPM?
SPM did for the South, I want to do it for the North Side, like, I want to be that guy, you know, I want to be, like, and even, like, just not the North Side, on the bigger picture, I want to be, like, put on for my heritage, you know, like, because it's, like, we have a lot of, like, like, Spanish hip-hop artists, like, I don't know, like, we have maybe, like, a handful that are, like, actually, like, up there, you know, but I would like to be there, and then, but I want to show, like, what Texas is, too, like, now it's just, like, not just my Mexican, I want to show off, like, what Texas has to offer, because I feel like Texas is its own thing, you know, like, you know, they don't understand some of the shit I say in Cali because I keep it so Texas, and I refuse to change it. Like, to me, it's more like, let me show you my Texas mm-hmm. more than trying to change my style to, like, to please people from anywhere else. So I refuse to change, and that's why I'm making my album, The Lone Star.
Hmm.
It's basically, like, it's going to be a potluck of everything that Texas has to offer. And so I, as far as just, like, what I'm chasing, it's, like, more, like, I just want to be content with myself, like, just happy, bro. Like, it ain't, like, I had the money. I did everything I wanted to do. I realized it wasn't really, like, it's comfortable. I love it. You know, being able to, like, have time to think and do shit you want, like, that's the best part of it. But it ain't like, oh, I'm just here to, like, make money and this and that. Like, no, I just want to, I want to create. I want to make something that inspires people. I want to be someone's stepping stone. Like, even with the, like, the whole thing I did today, I got a lot of backlash about it. Everybody, oh, you Mexican, you dropping this and that. Like, bro, I remember there's so many other Hispanics at school that listen to this kind of music, but, you know, they wouldn't really tell their parents because it's not the traditional thing, you know, but it's good music. And it's like, if there's another kid out there that was like, man, I always wanted to make, like, some pop rock in Spanish.
Hmm.
Like, I'm willing to take the backlash for that shit so that kid can one day be like, yo, well, he fucking did it. I mean, like, you know, do it for them. So I want to inspire people. I want to show people in my community that, like, you can make it out, bro. So I went to regular at schools. I went to Sam Houston High School, which is, like, it used to be a bad school. I don't know if it's still. But at the time I was in, like, it was, like, that's where you went to, like, fail type shit. And so I came out of there, and, I mean, I'm not saying I'm, like, stupid fucking successful, but I made something out of myself coming out of that school, you know. So I want to show kids that, like, you can do this shit with, like, hard work and dedication. Like, this shit's fucking possible, bro. I went and signed to one of the biggest labels in the fucking world, and I'm a Northside kid, bro.
Hmm.
I used to flip a fucking snow cone sign on Little York and Audie Westfield.
Hmm.
Like, you know, I worked at the Jack in the Box right there across the street from fucking where I used to hold the sign. I went from Jack in the Box to holding a sign, bro. You know, like, there's nothing special about me. Like, I genuinely feel like I just wanted it, and I wanted it more than everybody, and it worked out for me.
That's what it is, man. Hell yeah. I fuck with you, dog.
Fuck with you too, dog.
Man,
for there real. You go, hit it back.
Man, okay, so we gotta do this, because I can talk like this with you before we get up out of here.
Yeah.
Top five, all time.
All time?
Yeah.
What genre? I just told you, I switched genre.
All right, we'll do rap, top five rap.
Kanye. Biggie. Drake. SPM. This last one's kind of, I want to say Scarface. Bounce Horn. I don't know, man. It's hard.
It's top five, baby.
Not because, I mean, I still have Riff Raff in there, too. The thing about me is more about, like, influence. Like, it's kind of, I don't know if you're telling me, like, influence or just, like, MC. Or
whoever you say is your top five. Like, this is my five. It's not a right or wrong answer. It's just, like, if I had to pick five, this is my five I'm picking.
Kanye, Biggie, Drake. SPM. That's, I need one more. I got one spot, bro. I want to say myself, but I feel like that's such an asshole thing to say. But I'm gonna give it to fuck, bro. This is hard. ASAP Rocky, fuck it. That came out of nowhere, but yeah.
Damn, I
was just talking about that the other day. ASAP, if ASAP was consistent with it, he would be up there, bro. I feel like fashion wise, rap wise, everything. I love that he asked for like the blessing with Bun to be able to say the whole trill shit. He had the blessing from Mos Def to say he was pretty Flacco, you know, like he paid his fucking dues. He paid his respects. We had to. The way he raps, the way he dresses, his visuals are fucking crazy, you know. So I'm gonna give it to him. Like,
Okay, that's a bit.
Fuck, I feel like I said a shitty five. I
just didn't expect it. I mean, ASAP Rocky was a wild
card. I feel like he doesn't get the flowers he deserves, bro. I feel like. And it's because he's just very inconsistent. But I feel like he's on the same shit that I am. Like, he's very content with who he is and like what he did. He dropped a testing album. That was more like on some different shit, you know. But like the fact that like he influenced like a lot of the game. And it's just, you know, shout out him, ASAP Mob, ASAP Yams, you know, the whole thing. So, yeah, fuck you. I'm gonna die on that. I'm gonna die on that hill, man.
Yeah. Already. Well, listen, man, I appreciate you coming through. You know what I'm saying? It's the Donnie Houston Podcast, man. Bo Bundy. Listen, man, y'all follow him. Check out everything he's doing. You know what I'm saying? You ain't got no choice but to fuck with what he's doing. He just told you where he's coming from. He's coming from a real place. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, man, support him. I'm fucking with him. Hey, man, it's the Donnie Houston Podcast. Bo Bundy, we up out of here. Yeah. Donnie Houston. Subscribe to the Donnie Houston Podcast, man.